You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
There is a reason that she bought two lottery tickets. And it might be because she's the luckiest woman in America.
I've had so many people text me, what happened with the fountain? And before we tell you, I want to read a text message that I received this morning.
From?
Good morning, Dana. This is John with Brown Button Estate Sales. We heard all of your segments yesterday on the fountain. We are cracking up. Would you have any interest in our company owner, Michael, jumping on for part of the show to discuss the process? No worries if not, but we thought it might be fun. I replied, yes, please. FYI, we do not own a crane. Let me know what number he should call. We are good to go. And I did say we have so many questions for him as a Brown Button customer. Like when one goes to buy a 40,000-pound fountain, what happens when one realizes they don't own a crane or a forklift? Dan, I'm going to let you tell the story of what happened last night.
Well,
I was too terrified to look at my phone. I did not look at my phone.
I knew it was ending at 7 o'clock.
Sam and I weren't too afraid.
I had bid $235 for a fountain that we could not move, and if we did, it would cost probably $10,000 to $15,000 to move it.
Yeah, your bid sat quiet for a couple of days, and then around 6:30 last night, it started to heat up.
People
started bidding, and it jumped over $1,000 in just a matter of minutes. And then as we closed it on 7 o'clock, and I'm watching it happen, it is jumping.
You're watching in real time.
It's exciting.
I'm watching in real time, and then they extended it. Then they extended it again.
They extended it because people started going nuts, Dan, over this fountain.
Yep. It went up into the several thousands of dollars. So you got left way behind.
The 10-foot, 5,000-pound, three-tiered water fountain went at auction, Scott, for $3,900. Now, it's worth north of $20,000.
During the afternoon yesterday, it was at $225.
$225.
And it went for?
$3,900.
Huh. Yeah, Dana's bid sat for like 3 days until the last half hour of the auction on this item. 10-foot tall, 5-foot wide, orange creamsicle fountain.
Once you clean it, that thing is going to be gorgeous. But, you know, it was...
I think it's gorgeous now.
Once you clean it and get new piping for it, it doesn't have piping?
It's not hooked up in its current state in Mission Hills. It would be hooked up.
Okay.
And so we go to watch the Royals game last night. I come home, Johnny's mowing. No one says a word about the fountain. Even though I know Scott has texted him, oh my gosh, do you have any idea how big this thing is that Dana bit on?
I didn't just text him. I called him.
The Royals game is starting, and I am just about to squirm out of my skin because I'm so afraid that we're going to end up with this thing. And we're outside. I pour a glass of wine. He doesn't say a word. How was your day? Great. And then there's a pause, and he goes, so you want to talk about the fountain?
Classic.
I go, no. And he goes, have you looked at your phone? I said, no, I'm too afraid to look at my phone. I'm too afraid that I have done something that I cannot get us out of. And then I pulled up my phone, Dan. I saw your text and I go, $3,900, baby. We're clear.
Yeah. Now, what's going to be interesting is if a Dana and Parks listener bought it and they're going to lift it up with a Sikorsky helicopter and bring it over to your house.
I guarantee you a contractor bought that fountain, Dan, who has the equipment and the know-how to move it because it will look stunning in front of someone's home, just not mine. And for that, we love you, Brown Button. But I am thankful.
Let me ask you a question. I'm being serious.
Carrie asked me the same thing this morning.
What?
What have we learned?
what have you learned?
That it's important to look at the specifications completely when placing a bid on larger items. I did not realize it was 10 foot tall. I thought it was like this. I really did.
Mm-hmm. Ask somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
10 foot was in the first line of the description.
Right. I just saw the photo of the fountain and thought, oh my God, I love it. And for those of you who, like, you need a visual, it literally looks like the Kaio fountain at KU.
10 apostrophe. What does that mean?
Yeah.
I mean, the headline does say tall. Fountain,
it was tall.
So.
No, it says 10 foot tall.
The head of Brown Button will join us at 3 o'clock. Correct. And I'm telling you, I kind of want to keep him around. I want to know what's the weirdest thing you've ever sold.
So hang on just a second.
Yeah.
That's the only thing you learned out of this is to read the description more closely?
Yes.
That is the only thing that you took away from this experience.
Because I did not know what the word cast meant. And Dan explained this yesterday. Cast concrete means that sucker was in one piece.
Sam, get in here right now.
It needed to be molded right there in front of the home, one piece. And so you can't just screw it off in three parts like I thought. I thought we were just going to throw it in his truck.
And put it together like a Lego set.
Well, that's how most fountains work.
Absolutely. Sam.
Yes.
What is the real lesson that we've learned here? Come on, guys.
Back away from the internet?
Nope.
We don't need a 10-foot fountain in our side yard?
Nope. When we're making bad purchase decisions, we run it through our significant other.
Yes.
Oh, that's a big one.
Yeah. I did run it through him.
No, you didn't.
I just didn't know that it was as big as it was. He did know that he joked to me yesterday. He goes, I said, and I did tell you about that. And he goes, I know you did. I was playing along with Scott. I absolutely told him about the fountain.
You told him, I'm going to buy a fountain.
Yes.
And he didn't say at any point, let me take a look at it.
No, he just said, where are you going to put it? And I said, it's going to be real cute. It's going to be for the birds. We'll put it right here.
He probably thought it was one of those from Suburban Lawn and Garden.
Yes.
That is like 2 feet tall.
Growing with you.
Right. Like we are growing with you.
Like a little bird that's just spitting out water into a fountain.
Yeah.
We have both. You didn't realize you were buying the.
Yes. And I'm going to tell you this, and I've already told Brown Button this. I am in a self-exiled Brown Button estate sale timeout. Self-imposed.
You didn't realize you were buying the horse fountain at on the plaza.
The
Freedom Fountain.
The Freedom Fountain, the J.C. Nichols. It wasn't that big. Anyway.
It was close.
I cannot wait for 3 o'clock to have the Brown Button folks
on. So here's the deal. When you were telling Johnny, hey, I'm buying a fountain, I'm with you, Dan, he's probably thinking, oh, it's like a little bird bath.
I told him 3-tiered. It'll be cute.
Yeah. Did you tell him it was 10 foot tall?
No.
That was in the first line of the description.
Right.
I'm looking at a 3-tier bird bath right now that you can buy from one of these box stores. It's like $150.
Yeah. Way cheaper.
Dan, how tall is it?
Oh, it looks like it's about 4 feet, four and a half feet.
Maybe
tall.
Four.
Yeah.
Maybe four. Yeah.
He's given me a parameter.
Three, probably.
6 to 8 feet would work. 10 does not.
What do you need a fountain for?
I don't. I'm just telling you that if we were to get a fountain, 6 to 8 feet would be the maximum height.
Okay. By the way, Dan, and I told Dana this earlier today, your drop about putting
the fountain by the doors
and you could have a real junkyard in your backyard was one of the funniest lines I've ever heard.
Do you not like
show.
My doors, Dan Weinbaum?
I love your doors.
Thank you.
I think you should cut one out and make it like a secret door so you can pass through.
I had a girlfriend text me this morning that I haven't heard from in a while that she goes, give it up. What happened with the fountain? Do we own the fountain? We will find out. I don't know that they'll give up the winning bid at 315, but don't you want to talk to him about all the things? They have been in probably every home up and down Ward Parkway that you've driven by 1,000 times. They have sold and resold all of the things. I want to know, what is the highest amount for a single item? What is the rarest item? They come across stuff, Scott, in attics that you cannot even imagine.
See, I have a lot of questions for him. But I'm not a scavenger.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that in a negative
way. No, I
know. You know, I'm not one who goes, I can't remember if I've ever been to a yard sale. Ever.
It can be really addictive.
Estate sales,
I know Dana. I've never been to an estate sale.
So they start advertising these now, Scott, 2-3 days before. And I'm not kidding you, people will line up at 7 a.m. and save a spot to be in that house first. It's crazy.
Never in my life. I don't need it. I don't want it.
you have your house fully furnished and everything you want. But for people,
exactly.
You know, for people like we just moved, you know this. And so there were a couple of things we needed. Do you know how much I got through Brown Button? A ton of stuff.
Like what?
Wait a minute. Wait, you said needed. Does the 10-foot fountain fall into the need?
No, that's
a one. Okay, okay.
Light fixtures.
The old door fence fall under needed?
Yes, because the other fence was falling apart. But light fixtures, you know, you name it. They were selling everything and the bathroom sink in that house, Scott. So if you're starting over or you're building a house, you really can get amazing antiques for next to nothing. You can also buy things that need a crane to be moved. Who knew? I think we've all learned something.
Did we learn that the next time we make a major purchase, mm-hmm. even if the purchase is only $225, mm-hmm. and we don't do the research on said purchase, mm-hmm. we run it by our significant other?
We should probably do that. Yes.
Because if you had told him...
Well, if he had just looked at it, he would have known.
I'm bidding on a 10-foot fountain that is broken.
Before you press... bid, let him look at it.
Well, look, somebody got it for the cool price of $3,900, and I love them. I love you so much. If you're listening, you enjoy that fountain.
913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks.
I want you to stick with us here in just a few minutes. A good friend of the program, a voice that you know well, is going to join us at 2:30.
It'll be good to talk to him again.
Just an unbelievable story. And we will be beating up on Kansas City, Missouri here just a little bit. Because when you hear why our friend has been summoned to court, this is not in Mission Hills. This is not in Leawood. He has been summoned to court.
Oh, he's already on the line.
In Kansas City.
Go ahead and tell the story. He's calling in right now.
Because he built a treehouse for his autistic son. And I'm looking at a photo of the treehouse. It looks like any treehouse that your dad, you know, over the weekend, you and your dad go out and you're going to do this project and you're going to put a treehouse up. My cousin had one of these growing up.
Okay.
It is a very simple, platformed, small treehouse in his yard, in an area of Kansas City that has no HOA.
I won't give the neighborhood, but not far from downtown.
I mean, he first told me about this, I think it was about a week and a half ago. He's now, you're not going to believe this. I've been called to court over my treehouse.
Let's bring in Jason Nivens, formerly with 98.9 The Rock. Hello, Jason.
Hello, my friend.
Yeah, boy. What's happening?
It's good to hear your voice, man.
We've all been covering this town for many, many years. And you know, you talk about the neighbors and the neighborhoods that have the blight and the drug houses and you can't get anything done. The fact that you have a public hearing zoning sign attached to this for a treehouse is shocking.
It's wild, man. It's wild. It's wild out here in the streets of downtown Kansas City in the West Side. I've titled this one, A Tree House Grows in the West Side. Also titled, Big Changes Happening in Kansas City in the 2026. Chiefs are moving to Kansas. Royals are moving downtown. World Cup's coming to Kansas City. And Jason Nivens' treehouse.
Well, tell me, first of all, you built this for your kiddo.
Yeah, so I've been pretty open and honest about my son. He's on the spectrum. He's highly verbal autistic. And for those of you that have neurospicy children, you know when they get an idea, they just can't let go. They're just like a rabid dog. And so he just bugged me and bugged me and bugged me because he had saw one in the neighborhood somewhere for a treehouse. And so 3 years ago, I think, I did it. I made it for him. It's more like a crow's nest. It's only about 4 feet by 4.5 feet, so it's not like anyone's sleeping up in it, you know. And it's barely 8 feet off the ground because it's a Bradford pear. If you know trees, those are real fragile trees. And so... towards the end of last year, I got a notification that I have an illegal structure on my property. And there's a couple other things as well that I'm going through, but this is the one that really stands out, to the treehouse. And so I called the individual, the inspector that leveled the complaint against me, and I said, okay, who do I talk to argue my case? And they said, we don't know. I don't know. I'm like, you're telling me I have an illegal structure on my property, but you don't know who I'm supposed to talk to like, argue my case? And she goes, try this person. So I called this person down at City Hall. Left him a voicemail. They go, they call me back and they go, hey, I'm not the guy. Try this guy. So I get put over to this other guy and I'll protect his name and I'll change it to Dustin, not with a J, but with a D, Dustin. And I'm explaining to him the whole thing and he sends me an email, says, yeah, this is where you go to file an appeal. Okay. So I file the appeal. I pay $518 to do it, to go in front of the board of zoning. And I, at the, in the interim, I started doing a part-time gig over at Woodyard Barbecue. And one of the owners, Frank, he's an awesome dude. He's a lawyer. I was showing him everything. And he's like, dude, they've kind of got you on this. Because in the vocabulary of where a treehouse can sit in Kansas City, Missouri's codes and board of zoning, you technically have it, even though it's off the street, even though it's behind a concrete retaining wall, behind two fences. It's in the area where it's not behind your house. And so he's like, what you need to do is file a variance. And I'm like, okay, but they told me an appeal. He's like, nah, they told you wrong. And I'm like, well, that was a $518 mistake right there. So I'm sitting in front of the board in January and I'm going through it. Like they're going through it all and we're talking. And I go, I realized that I filed an appeal, but I should have filed a variance. And they were like, yes, absolutely. And I'd heard one of the board members say that they had been on the board for 30 years. And I asked her, I said, in your 30 years on this board, how often do you had treehouse cases? And she said, this is my third one.
Third.
So, third. In 30 years.
So hang on, Jason. If you had built the house in the backyard, you would have been perfectly fine. Is that correct?
Well, you've been to my house, Scott, right?
Many
times.
You
know how far it sits back off the street? A lot of the West Side was a Wild West for a long time, and now, of course, it's become cool, and they're building McMansions left and right and all that. So, like, the setbacks are totally off everywhere, and the setback is the vocabulary they use about how many feet off the street it's supposed to be. We don't really have a backyard. We're built into the hillside. It's a California hill home, so it's, like, 75% underground. We don't even have a front yard because, like, it's all rocks, and so we have decks and the treehouse for the kids. So I guess if I would have built it in the side, the back tree by the alley, that would have been fine because it's in the backyard, categorically, that by definition. But that's not where he wanted it. And he was, because he wants to, like, wave goodbye to us when we leave. Like, we did a shave and a haircut two-bit thing when we drive down the hill. And I was recording, by the way, new season, Kansas City with Jason Nimmons podcast is out now. I was recording an episode yesterday and I walked home and as I'm coming up the hill, there's my kids up there like yelling at me like, Daddy's home. So
what happens now, Jason?
Okay. So then I got arraigned a couple of weeks ago.
Arraigned?
I got arraigned for the treehouse. Because I didn't abate I didn't abate the illegal structures because I applied for my variance, and I had to have a pre-meeting. And in that pre-meeting, I was never sent a link to me to reschedule my pre-meeting, right? And so in the time frame, I didn't abate the legal structures within like a certain amount of time, even though time was never discussed at all in any of my situations. And so even though I have, at the end of this month, a variance hearing to discuss my treehouse, amongst other things, I still was called in front of a judge at City Municipal because I didn't abate my property.
Can I ask you, Jason, did the judge look at you and say, are you kidding me? What are we doing?
No, we got, we got a little chirpy with one another because there's also like this discussion about a fence of mine that supposedly is illegal, but because it's not it's not 48 inches in a certain spot, again, in the setback, but it's on a hillside. And so he was like focused on that. And I was like, no one even talked to me about the treehouse or about the fence except for the initial illegal structure I got end of last year. And so we went back and forth and he just said, well, we're going to schedule you for end of June after your variance hearing and we'll see what comes about of it. And I was like, okay, great.
Oh my, how much has this cost you up to this point?
So I mentioned the $518 to do the appeal, which I should have filed for a variance. And that was another $277. I'm not good with math. I think that's nearly $900. So almost a grand I've spent thus far. And then, of course, like, because I have to go in front of a board, I have to go in front of the judge. I've got to juggle things with my wife and the kids and watching them. And, you know, can Meemaw come up and take care of them, keep an eye on them? And, yeah, so.
Send us the name of the rat. And Dana and I will come by tonight and pop some tires.
This has to come back to one of the neighbors, does it not? They don't like your treehouse.
So here's the thing. And I put this in my post. It's one of two people that did this. It was either one, the developers behind us who I've known since grade school or in high school, who are building, or one of the people that are building, the teams that are building the McMansions. And when they first got started, they were like, hey, would you mind cutting down your trees to improve our view? You can imagine my wife's response to that. You guys know my wife. I can't say it on the radio with you guys because of FCC, but you guys know my wife. You know what she said.
Yes.
And then, or more likely, and this is what I think, it's the individual who lives nearby, who I've talked about before, had a restraining order on because he pulled a gun on me, who yells profanities at me and my children, and constantly, and this is the thing that I think bothers me the most. Like, yes, this has been an eye-opening experience, and I always try to look for, like, the positive things. Kansas City has a policy where you can anonymously report things to 311. And that, you know, that's cool. Like, if you don't want to get in a tinkle match with your neighbor, I understand that. But there's no back-end identification. So anybody can go around the city and just be like, I don't like this person's house, and file an anonymous complaint against them.
Yep.
So if you have an individual that's mentally unstable, which I believe my neighbor to be, a couple doors down, then he's just going out there. Because in the same time, I was dealing with this. The inspector who I've gotten to know in the neighborhood, we've exchanged numbers, we're on a first-name basis. She's like, hey, I saw something else, another thing against me for, like, illegal wood piling. You guys know I got a problem with wood.
Jason, they are trying to run you out of your own neighborhood.
Yep.
Bar none, that is what this is about.
I mean, but I've been up there for 16 years, so it's like, and my two, both my kids were born in the house. Like, we're not going anywhere, you know? So, but here's the thing that I think is pretty, like, wild with it all. Like, you're going to run out of things to anonymously report me about because I'm not against all of them.
You know what's next? And we got to get to break, but they're going to get you on that outdoor bar and accuse you of having an
moonshine
establishment.
Hey, you know what? There's one thing I do love about Kansas City history. It's the proliferation during Prohibition of adults making their own decisions. And if I got to carry that torch next, I will.
You fight the man. Nivens, you fight the man, and you let us know how it works out.
I will. All right.
Thanks, be well,
guys.
My friend.
Be well, friend. You take care. Jason Nivens, 913-586.
A treehouse.
7798.
I want to know if you had this happen. Any city where you're listening, have you had the neighbor call, and now you're taking down the playhouse?
913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. The Escape Club. Man, you're digging deep in the vault there, Sam.
Prominently featured on the Dana and Parks Rejoin Music playlist on Spotify.
Steve in Independence. Steve, good afternoon.
Hey,
Hello.
How you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Good. I had a situation where I had a fence on the west side of my yard, a wooden fence, and my old neighbor shared that fence with me. Well, the new neighbor was coming in, and the realtor asked if the fence was on the property line, and we said, well, as far as we know. Well, anyway, it was a foot off. So the new neighbor wanted the fence moved.
Oh,
back
no.
Back onto my yard a foot. So that's 14 posts. All the pickets and everything. The new neighbor moves in, and now he shares my fence with his dogs. And my old neighbor was going to pay for half of it, and of course, he booked.
I'll tell you this, Steve, the boundary dispute when it comes to this stuff, I am well versed. Which is why the person that put in the fence, it probably wasn't even Steve, it was probably predated Steve. When you put up a fence, this is why the fence companies now make you have a survey. You have to have it surveyed.
A plot survey.
Because you don't want someone coming back 6 years later and saying, I'm sorry, I'm going to need you to move this entire structure 6 inches that way.
So I had a conversation with my neighbor 2 weekends ago, and I was out in the yard doing a little bit of work, and he came over, Ryan is his name, and he said, hey, I just want to let you know, we're putting up a fence. So like, five houses around me, none of us have a fence.
Right.
It's just open terrain.
Wide open space.
The dogs run everywhere. And Ryan comes over and he says, hey, we've decided, you know, because they got a new big dog and everything. And he said, we're gonna be putting in a fence. And I said, okay. And he goes, I just want to let you know. It's going to be nice, wrought iron. You know, it's going to start here and go here. And I'm like, Ryan, it's your yard. Do whatever you want.
He didn't ask you to share it, did he?
Absolutely not.
Oh, okay.
And my answer would have been no.
Of course.
I don't want a fence.
I don't want a fence. If you want a fence, nothing I can do to stop
that's
you.
That's exactly right. Now, Ryan, God bless him, they have a dilapidated, what's the word I'm looking for here?
Trampoline.
Trampoline, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where it has like the fencing around it, the
netting
screen
is
around
broken.
The netting is falling down. It is just an eyesore. The grass underneath it is probably a foot tall, if not taller. And, you know, would I call him in on that? No. His kids love that trampoline. They play on it all the time. It's horribly unsafe. It's an eyesore, but whatever. Doesn't bother me at all.
Except that it doesn't. It would bother me too. Go ahead.
Here's the other problem. With my other neighbor to the south, Scott and Stacy, when my house was built, and I was not the original owner, the original owners built some landscaping.
Okay.
Nice mounded landscaping that goes into Scott and Stacy's yard. If they were to build a fence, theoretically, I would have to rip out some of my own yard landscaping. Or they would. Because my landscaping goes into their yard.
You ne'er do well.
I didn't do it.
Jeez. Now, I mean, if we're going to be honest about what's going on the West Side, Bob on the West Side called in and kind of shared the same sentiment. And I understand Nivens has had a history with a neighbor, and maybe it is that neighbor. But I think it's more likely they're trying to gentrify the West Side. Nivens lives in an old house. It's been there for a very long time.
It's not a bad house.
And it's a wonderful house. I've been there. I love it.
Yeah.
I honestly think it's super cool. But they want McMansions.
The bar out back is pretty awesome.
These developers are coming in and they're saying, we want to buy you out. And if you're Nivens, you've been there for 16 years.
Nope.
You're not buying me out. So what do?
Because
they put
to
pressure
start over
on you.
Would be 10 times the amount of money.
They put pressure on you by looking into every single municipal code that you might be violating, and they just start calling 311.
You
got through this one. Next week, I'm going to call you on this thing.
At what point, turn the tables, is this not just plain harassment? At what point?
It is, but they're technically within the law because
they are.
Nivens was right, and the lawyer that he spoke to was right. According to the city's laws, that treehouse is in violation. But they didn't care for the last 5 years until they decided they wanted to build a McMansion behind it.
According to the city laws, we shouldn't have vacant, blighted properties all up and down the east side, but we do. Why is this the one that ends up in front of a judge? That's where I'm so just shocked, where we have absentee property owners, like the vacant lot parking lot owner next to Town Topic, that is a nuisance property.
We'll talk about that at 5 o'clock.
Oh, that's coming up. There are so many problems that could be addressed for the betterment of everyone. This is just a neighbor throwing pebbles across the fence saying, we want you out of here.
Now, it's one thing to say, hey, this is a treehouse and, you know, some kid and his sister are getting to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And they're going up there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and hanging out, reading books, and mom and dad come home and they're like, hey guys, blah, blah, blah. However, with respect, you have a neighbor that just put in a pickleball court.
And guess what?
You called the city.
The structure itself is legal. There was nothing on the books up to this point to prevent it.
Correct.
The audio level that will come from it.
Has anybody played a single game on that court?
No. Because unless they come up with foam Nerf balls or whatever, the audio level will shatter the city's own noise ordinance. So, you know, we'll see. Let me give you a better example.
Okay.
Because that did anger everyone in our neighborhood. I had a neighbor.
And by the way, should have.
And should have, yes. I had a neighbor many, 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 many years ago where our house sat at the top of the street and their house sat 30 feet below grade below our house. And every time it would rain, water does what it's going to do, and it would flood their yard. Not because of water coming out of our yard. We didn't have a sprinkler system, anything. It just, nature, that's what gravity does.
Okay.
And she came over one day very nicely and said, so it turns out we're going to have to put in a French drain because of the way the terrain falls here.
What's a French drain?
It's like rocks. They dig it out and they put rock down and it absorbs the water.
I know exactly what you're
talking about. Oh, I am so sorry to hear that. She says, and it is going to be $12,000, and we are hoping that you'll pay six.
Okay. I'm hoping the door doesn't hit you in the face.
I just go, number one, we don't have $6,000. I'm sorry that gravity is doing what it's doing.
Is this when you were living in Prairie Village?
Yes, I was just like, I don't know what to say. This is when we were starting out. So I think everyone listening, you've had something with a neighbor. And on that end, she was asking for me to help. And I was like, we bought the house that was higher. You should have bought the house that stood higher.
How does she, with a straight face,
she did
ask you to pay for half
for their French drain
when you have nothing to do with what God does?
Correct.
Okay.
It probably should have been disclosed when they bought their house that, you know what, you are on a low spot here.
Disclosed? Look at the topography.
Look at the topography. You are going to get water.
Take a walk around the neighborhood.
Keep in mind, Scott, it wasn't going into their home. It was going into their yard. Annoying, without question.
Not your problem.
I'm going $6,000. I go, sis, I don't know who you think you're dealing with. Well, we've got four kids. I've got a minivan falling apart. Like, I don't have $6,000 to pay for your drain. So, I'd like to be friends, but that's kind of the last time we spoke.
So the would you be willing to pay for half of my fence argument?
Yeah.
If I want a fence and we're planning to build a fence?
Yes.
Then yes, I will, for a third of your fence, I will pay half.
Okay.
But I don't want a fence.
You don't want a fence. You like the open terrain.
I do.
Mm-hmm.
Dog likes to run. 913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. So 4 in 10 Americans will not be taking a single trip this summer, with cost being the biggest reason why.
Yeah, well, hell, gas.
Yep, that's exactly right. The survey of 5,000 Americans split evenly by state and generation found that the majority are unable to afford the cost of a trip, 52%. While others say they were working to save money, 25%. Others pay off debt, 22%. Okay. Would you care to guess the kind of trips, if you are planning one, that people are planning for this summer?
I think it's going to be, let's go to Branson for 3 days. Like, let's just get out of town, like 3 hours or less.
Like for a weekend
getaway? Yeah, a little weekend getaway.
Okay, that's called a micro break.
Okay.
A short trip to a nearby city for a mini vacation, 30%. That
okay.
is correct.
What about a staycay?
Staycay is number one.
How do you package that up if you have little kids? We're going to do something called a staycay.
We're going to stay at home and take a bunch of days off and annoy the hell out of each other. 32%. Quietcations. Vacations where you unplug your devices and just recharge.
Yeah.
30%.
More of that.
How many actually unplug?
None.
Probably none.
Citycation.
Okay,
like which is something I've always said we need to do.
Be a tourist in your own town.
That's right. 21%.
Okay.
Isn't that a staycay?
No, to me, a staycay is you just stay home.
Oh, okay.
Like you stay within a couple miles of your house and you do the same thing and you just
you don't spend any money.
No, taking a couple days to recharge.
Like me, where I take a week off and just do yard work.
Yeah,
all week.
Yeah.
That's a staycay.
Okay, got it.
Like a citykay is where you take, 3-4 days off, you go to the Truman Library, you go to the
World War
I, you go to the plaza and have a nice lunch, whatever. There's something called a baycay.
A baycay.
That's where you travel with romantic partner.
You vacay with your bay?
For the first time.
Get out of here.
Yeah, baby.
A little baycay.
Okay, would you care to guess the top 5 states that are planning summer vacations?
That will actually leave and go spend money on...
That will leave the state and go on a vacation.
It's going to be the bougie, wealthy states in the Northeast and probably California.
Okay, you would be wrong.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Texas.
Number 2.
Okay.
Florida.
No.
Vegas. Nevada. Sorry.
We keep naming destinations.
Nevada, no.
Utah.
Take you out of your misery. Number five is Wisconsin.
Okay.
Number four is Massachusetts.
All right. Number three
is New Jersey.
Okay, there are a couple up there.
So there's some Northeast. Number two, Texas. Number one, Illinois.
What in the Sam Hill is going on CNN?
That's a drunk deer.
Authorities in France, you guys, are warning people about, quote, drunk deer. And there is video of a deer with the zoomies.
I used to call that Saturday night.
She's just going around and around and around, and then she rolls over like a dog. You know what it is? It's all those berries. The berries are fermenting. We see this with birds from time to time. They eat those fermented berries.
Look at that moron.
That is like a glass of port.
State least likely to take a vacation.
Mississippi.
Second from the bottom.
Louisiana.
Arkansas. Least likely to take a vacation.
Have you been there? It's beautiful.
Arkansas is beautiful.
It is a beautiful state. I love Arkansas. It is a beautiful state.
It is the natural state.
News with Dan Weinbaum coming your way in 2 minutes. Here's Steely Dan.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.